Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the halachas of Chatzitza. Chatzitza is the ideas of interruptions. These are interpositions between the woman's body and the water. When a woman goes to the mikveh, there cannot be any chatzitzas, anything which is a barrier between her body and the water. This is Simon Kuf Nun Aleph 161 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to be looking at a few basic concepts. So question number one is chatzitzas in general. What constitutes valid immersion in the mikveh? So the entire body of the woman must be subsumed or be underneath the water simultaneously without any interposing substances which prevent the water from reaching every part of her body. And we continue with the following concept. Must the water physically enter the internal parts of the body like her mouth and her deep inside her ears? The answer is no. But those internal areas must be free of any chatzitzas. So any food particles between teeth will invalidate the mikveh, even though the water is not coming into her mouth. What about mucus around the eyes? Is that a chatzitza? So external mucus is a problem, whether it's wet or whether it's hard. But if it's internal, still in the eye, if it's wet, it's not a problem. If it's dry, it is a problem. What about contact lenses? So contact lenses need to be removed before going to the mikveh. How should dried blood or pus or scabs be handled? So dried blood and pus are a chatzitzas, but the wet discharge within the wounds is not. What about blisters and warts? Today, many poskim are mekil not to have to break open or to drain a blister or a wart. What about scabs? So scabs do need to be removed or thoroughly softened, even if it could be painful as well. What about bandages and gauze or chatzitza? So the Kitzur says pretty categorically all bandages and inserted gauze, even if it's deeply inserted, or chatzitzas need to be removed even if it causes pain. And he even includes in this long-term casts or bandages. It is worthwhile noting that this is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, but there is a poisek called the Chelkas Yoav who writes that a bandage is considered a chatzitza since it's continually removed and replaced. But if it is there for a long period, longer than a week, then it's considered batel to the body. Generally speaking, poskim today rely on the Chelkas Yoav for casts or bandages which are in a place which is usually covered. So meaning to say that if, let's say, there's something in the mouth that is going to be there like a filling which is there for more than a week, some poskim are mekil in this respect as well, because that's a miot hamakbid. It's a small amount which a person is concerned about, but it's for a longer period, it's not an issue. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Aruch points out that if a woman has a cast, and this is going to be for weeks, she should be convinced not to go to the mikveh. But if there are concerns that there's going to be a problem of the couple being together without going to the mikveh because of this, then one can rely on the Chelkas Yoav, since the cast is there for such a long time as well. So it's a complicated issue, requires a discussion on a case-by-case basis. Is filth or dirt from sweat a chatzitza? Yes. So if it forms like sort of a layer, and if you rub your hands, turns into little into crumbs, that is a chatzitza and needs to be removed. That's usually done through the washing. What substances are chatzitza only when dry and even when moist? So ink, milk, honey, fig juice, berry juice, carob resin, sycamore juice are chatzitzas when dry, and all other juices and blood are chatzitzas even when moist. So they need to be removed. Is cosmetic coloring or occupational dyes on the hand a chatzitza? No. So a woman who is painting her hand, or this is her occupation, those dyes are not considered to be a chatzitza. Although you can see it, she's not makbid on it, and it doesn't actually have a physical tangibility. We move to our second concept, which is nails, teeth, and jewelry. Should nails be cut before the immersion in the mikveh? Yes, nails of the hands and feet must be cut. And nails must, the Kitzur recommends burning the nails as a way to get rid of them. Many people are comfortable still putting them, just flushing them down the toilet as an alternative, but they shouldn't be left lying around on the floor. What if a mikveh is on Shabbos and she forgot to cut her nails? So if it's on Shabbos and Yom Tov, some poskim allow a non-Jewess to cut them if forgotten earlier as well. This would be Amir La'akum in a specific situation. If she does it with a shinui, it's shusu shus b'makom mitzvah. What about on chol hamoed? So she may cut them for the mikveh, even though generally speaking you don't cut nails on chol hamoed. What about nail polish? Nail polish needs to be removed before going to the mikveh. What if the nails are not cut before the immersion? So if they noticed it, let's say a woman goes to the mikveh, she forgot to cut her nails, and she comes home, but she has not been with her husband yet, then she would be required to go back to the mikveh. If it's afterwards, a rabbi should be consulted. What about a splinter? So if a splinter is sticking out of the skin, it's a chatzitza, needs to be removed. If it's completely underneath the skin, not sticking out at all, it's not considered a chatzitza. How should teeth be prepared for the immersion? So teeth need to be cleaned thoroughly to remove all food particles, so brushed and flossed. Are there any dietary restrictions before the mikveh because of this? Yes, a woman should be careful not to eat meat on the day of the mikveh because it tends to lodge between the teeth. Are there any restrictions of activities on the day of the mikveh? So the Kisra records that a woman should not be kneading dough or dealing with melting wax because these are the kind of things which stick to the skin and create a chatzitza. On Erev Shabbos, he points out a woman certainly can knead dough because it's a mitzvah to be doing that on Erev Shabbos. Must jewelry like earrings and rings be removed before going to the mikveh? The answer is absolutely yes. Jewelry must be removed. What happens if a woman has artificial teeth or lead fillings or internal medical ring? Now, it's interesting that he says lead fillings because that's something we would never do today. But in those days, that was done. So in this case, she must consult a halachic authority. By a case-by-case basis, it's very complicated. Generally speaking, modern fillings are not a chatzitza, but temporary fillings are more of a concern. We look to our third and last concept today, and that is proper immersion procedure. So can another person hold a woman during the immersion? Let's say she's scared to go in the water. Can somebody hold her hand? So the answer is generally no. Unless, if it's necessary, then the person who, let's say, is holding her hand would hold it gently to prevent the water from, prevent it being a situation of chatzitza, the water cannot reach that the palm of her hand. Is mud a chatzitza during immersion? So mud at the mikveh bottom is generally not a chatzitza, unless it's thick by the, let's say, a river's edge. So in those cases, the kitzur entertains the possibility of, let's say, stepping on something, not to step on that mud, or washing it off when she gets into the mikveh, deep into the river. We should remember that we're very blessed in today's society to have beautiful air-conditioned and chlorinated mikvehs. For many centuries, many women were going to the river, and it was a much more of a complicated procedure. How should a woman position herself during the mikveh? So she should not stand fully erect or excessively bent, because this ends up being a situation where parts of her body are bent in and over themselves and might not get exposed to the water at the same moment. So to avoid excessive bending, what should the minimum height of the water be in the mikveh? So the Kisser recommends that it should be 3 tefachim, above her navel, about 10 inches above her belly button. What if the water is lower than that? So then she should go in a position where she's sitting, so that she's mostly lower, and this will minimize the amount of bending she needs to do afterwards. How should she position her mouth and her eyes? Her mouth and eyes should be closed, but not too tightly closed, because then that will create wrinkles, which will mean to say that there's areas the water is not reaching. What if her hair got caught in her mouth? Then in that case, the tefillah unfortunately is invalidated. How should mucus in the nose and the ear be handled? So mucus inside the nose and the ear must be removed. And of course, if it's much further up and it can't be removed, it's not a chatzitza. Should she relieve herself? Should she go to the bathroom before going to the mikveh? The answer is preferably yes, to ensure that the openness for penetration, so she's not holding tight. But if she didn't, the mikveh still remains valid. Is dust on the feet a chatzitza? So she should remove it, but if she didn't, it still works. Are lice or fleas a chatzitza? So unfortunately, in the old days, people just lived with bugs around and on them all the time. So if it's the Kisra points out that ordinary fleas and lice that aren't clinging tightly are not chatzitzas, but if they're in the flesh or on this very tightly attached to the hair, they are a concern and needs to be removed. Then he discusses a particular type of braid, which is a kaltanis, which is a type of braid which was like sort of smushed together. So braids need to, of course, be undone. But in this case, apparently, it would be dangerous to remove it. And I'm not fully sure of the reality of why that is the case. But if it is dangerous to remove it, then it's not a chatzitza. Under normal circumstances, braids need to be undone in order for the water to reach there as well. Again, this speaks to the incredible amount of care that's needed to be able to perform going to the mikveh, which is a true credit to all the Bnei Yisrael who are doing this, and the questions which are necessary to ask under certain circumstances where things get more complicated. Have a wonderful and meaningful